Gaming Podcast. It's Paul.
And Tony.
And it's been almost a year. How you been, my friend? You well?
Well, it's not like we haven't seen each other in a year. We see each other, you know, and speak to each other almost every day as friends and work together. You know, I see my wife a little bit more, but not consistently, you know.
I think I speak to you more on a daily basis than the missus. Yeah. But what that's led to is the fact that we've just been talking away, doing work, enjoying our hobby between the two of us and not actually getting a chance to... Well, actually, it's not quite true. We did try and do at least one show, didn't we? But we had a bit of a technical difficulty. And then COVID...
Given how low-tech we are, I mean, did we forget to wind up the gramophone in the first place? Is that where it went?
Oh, dear, mate. It's a different... I mean, to be honest, actually, that's why we've gone back to Skyping, because actually the real reason we started the podcast was so we would spend a little bit more time with each other and just have an excuse to sit down and have a natter about the hobby. But that excuse is gone now, considering we work together. So it's great. But obviously the last time we did actually ever sit down in a chinwag, the technology let us down, which was a real shame. That was back in October. And then obviously work life, COVID, etc., has got in the way.
But family, love you, family.
Yeah, families. No.
I mean, you have a lot of time on your hands at the moment, don't you?
I do, given the fact I got the dreaded vid on. Well, effectively, I think I got it Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day I knew I had it, and then Boxing Day I tested positive. So it's been a wonderful Christmas. We'll talk more about that another time, I'm sure. But
It's a change to the normal Xmas herpes. So, you know, well done you.
That's it. Very true. It's just a bit strange, mate. Usually this time of year, it's off socializing and family gatherings and stuff. Obviously, last year it wasn't with lockdown and stuff. But this year it was like, oh, all these plans. And no, instead, I've been stuck in a bedroom playing Evil Genius 2.
And I did hear you were gutted when your in-laws had to fly home as well a week early. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's getting to the point where it's... Christmas and Easter are getting closer together for them. I mean, is it worth them leaving?
Well, as they say, sometimes there is a silver lining to every cloud. That was quite funny. Positive Boxing Day, then want a plane the following day. Bye! Can get out of the house quick enough. Don't blame them. No, it's been difficult, mate. But what we'll do is we'll focus on these shows for the moment. So I know you wanted to have a quick debrief, as it was, on what these next three shows are. And then obviously we're trying to get back into a bit of a groove with a planned episode on demons early in the new year. It's January the 2nd already, man. I've lost track of days. But yeah, plan is to...
This side of April.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe.
That's it. Let's try and put more than one episode out in 2022. We've got
something different this year, though. We can't, you know, because like you say, we're recording on Skype, we see each other a lot, so it would be nice to push ahead and maybe use this as an opportunity for us to do something different. So tonight we're gonna be having a master's interview with Ed.
Yeah,
which obviously that the amusing thing with that is that our last episode a year ago was a master's interview with Ed. So I believe you're just adding one to the episode number, and we'll tack that on, shall we? And that's it done.
How much has changed in a year?
Yeah, we're still not at the master's, and Ed still is.
Well, I think the other thing to stress as well, I think even if you're not really interested in the Masters, still stick in on this one, because it's just, effectively, it's just three mates having a chat about a hobby we all love. So, yeah whilst it is a little bit Masters-centric, and the next two episodes will be focusing, obviously, on players who are attending, I'm sure there's still plenty of...
It's more of a chitty chat about the game than focus specifically on the Masters, isn't it? I mean, we ask them... Yeah. Some questions about the armies they use and their year and that type of thing. But if you're not interested in the UK Masters and shock horror, you know, a lot of people won't be. It is an insight into their heads. So sorry about that, everyone.
So Yeah, without further ado, here's our interview with
Mad Dog Ed Murdoch. How's it going, Ed?
Yeah, not too bad. It's, you know, Christmas is over. Too much food has been eaten.
I hope we're showing you the respect that a big wheel like you deserves.
Yeah, well, the complimentary champagne was much appreciated.
If I'm not mistaken, Ed, the last time we had you on the show ended. We recorded with yourself, and then we had all these great ideas of what we were planning to do for the year, and then 2021 happened, and here we are at the end of it speaking to you again. So hopefully this will be kick-starting the Fantasy Wargaming podcast back into its former glory, so we can catch up with those other pesky podcasts.
Either that or putting
I did suggest
grave.
We go. Sorry, Ed, go and you go.
No, I was just saying either that or putting it in its grave. if my curse continues.
I did suggest to Paul that we just renumbered the last episode, and that's your one done. It's all about efficiency.
Yeah, nothing's really changed since then.
Oh, everything's changed. I can't seem to play Ninth Age anymore, but that's a separate debate, a separate conversation.
So this year's been a little bit different to last year in terms of the army you've been playing, or the armies you've been playing. So which army or which armies do you think have put you into the Masters?
Do you know what? I actually haven't kept track. Because I've been playing on, because obviously most of the events this year have been on EB, so it's been an abnormal year, because where last year we played the Masters on EB, but the qualifying, some of it was live events and some of it was, actually, to be honest, probably most of it was on EB anyway. I've recently started playing Demons. Before that, I guess I played some with Orcs and Goblins as well.
So a little bit of a mix, whereas before I think it was nearly all Greenskins, wasn't it, that put you where you were? So
yeah.
So
did you get your ogres out at all, Ed? I know the last time we were talking, you were building up an ogre force to take on the real tabletop. But
yeah, that's true. I did take ogres to Cardiff, and I did some events with ogres as well. So yeah, I'd forgotten about ogres. Yeah.
Oh, it went well then.
Yeah, it did all right until I ran up against Tanka's list, Warriors list, and then I realized that I wasn't ready for that kind of matchup.
So which army do you think you're going to be taking this year then? Which race? You don't have to give us the specifics, but have you had a thought about what you fancy?
I mean, I've been working on Demons. It's my new hobby project, and it's my attempt to learn a new book. So it's likely to be Demons. Maybe I'll surprise
Just coincidence everyone. That the latest balance patch says that they're filth. Is that what it is? It
well,
just happened
the inside
at the time of the Masters to have accidentally picked the number one army. Oh.
The best time to have done that would have been just before they changed the points, though, and hit all my Demons lists. Unfortunately, the timing wasn't that good. So, that may not be the case anymore.
Boo. So, and you were just saying, what drew you to taking Demons? So you're taking Demons to the Masters, you think? And what's, is it the hobby that's made you choose that? Is there going to be balance patched?
I was considering taking Undying Dynasties for a while, as my next project, and I have some models for that. I have models for all sorts of things. But thinking about Demons and how they played, that kind of struck me as actually maybe that's what I would like to be doing, the kind of running around with lots of fast things, lots of weird and wonderful creatures, and the opportunity to buy models from a bunch of different places and make use of them. So, I kind of ended up settling on Demons and then went full scale into that. So I've painted probably about 6,000 or 7,000 points in the last 5 months.
Wow.
That's a lot of painting. Is that because you were trying to settle on an army, a particular list, or is it just because you wanted to paint specific models and then you've been trying to shoehorn a list around models?
Yeah, pretty much the second one. Yeah, I would start with something that I thought, oh, I want to try out this one. So picked up a courtesan from Raging Heroes, which is a beautiful model, and picked up some hellhounds and, you know, bits and pieces that I'm like, all right, I want to use this one. So but I have expanded my collection now to include some other options, so I'm not quite so restricted to the starting models that I put together.
So does that mean demons are your favorite army at the moment, or do you still have that little soft spot for the green skin horde? Is it like Empire, where so many failed leadership tests makes you eventually just walk away from them, but you're always looking over your shoulder?
I mean, honestly, I will always enjoy the random nonsense that Orcs and Goblins can do. You know, I love scrap wagons, I love wrecking teams, all that kind of nonsense is just the ideal thing for me to want to play with. So there's a bit of that, but I also, you know, I'm also at some point will have to try out the new KOE. I don't necessarily want to try and learn that in time enough to be good with it before Masters. But I have a bunch of KOE models. I definitely want to give that a go. You know, I definitely just jump from project to project, and whatever has caught my attention, whether it's going well or not, I'll kind of keep at it until I can get it to work moderately well, and then probably move on to the next thing.
Do you think there'll be KOE at the Masters this year? Do you think people will get armies churned out in time?
I mean,
I suppose they could have them sat there. It's
Yeah, there are definitely some people who have the armies already and could play them. And there are definitely some people who could churn out an army in time to do it as well. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking there might well be one or two, if just for some people who like the newness factor. It's maybe too early to say whether the army will actually be competitive at the high. Well, I mean, I'm sure it'll be competitive, but whether it will be a massive success or not might be too early to say. But I'm hoping that there'll be someone who gives it a go.
So are you going to be one of these where the army choice that you take is going to be matched up specifically against what you expect to be there?
No.
For example, I know previous years people were thinking there was going to be a lot of Dread Elves when they were released. And no, then everybody ended up with Pyro and there were no Dread Elves.
absolutely not. I think if I was tailoring it, if I was tailoring a list, I would bring Ogres with double cannons. You know, in terms of the number of monsters that we've seen of late, the number of things that are out there, I think I would probably go into some sort of ogre gun line, but with a bit more preparation for units of wretched ones.
So pyromancy, two thunder cannons, three units of six bombardiers, filling the rest.
Yeah, probably something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, interesting. You heard it here first.
Yeah. But I'm not sure I'm kind of really deep enough into the meta game to have a full go at that. I'm not a big fan of picking an army for an event based on what I think is going to be there. Because one, if you're wrong, then your whole gaming experience is going to be awful because you brought a list deliberately designed to counter certain things that don't happen. Mm. I'd rather bring a list that I think I'm going to enjoy playing and spend five games improving with that list and feeling like I've got something out of it, which is probably why I won't win and won't even get close.
Oh, I think where did he finish up there, Tony? Where did
I was just going to say that. Obviously, you probably know because you do maintain the ranking spreadsheet, don't you, Ed? Is it still you?
I help to. Felix Newman does does most of the work on the actual sheet, but I help to try and keep things ticking over. Yeah.
See, I got a theory.
Oh, good effort, Felix.
I think, I think from what you're telling me on the various projects, you like just putting your name against things, but then letting others do the work. Is that right? Is that delegation
is key.
I help with the rankings, but I don't know anything about it. Felix doesn't like.
So I've checked the rankings and you've come in at 11th with 314 points, which is a very respectable placement.
Higher than me.
I got one of my highest scores this year, and that was 28th. So I only needed, you know, another 15 people to drop out, and I could have been there.
Unfortunately, everyone accepted this year, which is the first time I know that that's happened.
I was pinning my hopes on COVID.
I mean, that still might happen, but let's hope not.
Yeah. So, given that you've placed so highly, and I know you did last year as well, you consistently place highly. But can you think of any particular events that put you there, or any specific games in those events that you look back on and think, yeah, that's the one that got me, you know, some of these high scores to get 314.
I'm not sure if I would remember everything, because it feels like this year has been about 8 years long. I'm not sure.
See, must just be Nav. When we interviewed Nav after the Masters, so he talked for 2 hours about all the people he crushed on the way to the Masters. How did it go in the Masters? Well, let me tell you. In February, I smashed this person and I scored hot. It was like 2 hours later, and then I got to the Masters. Oh, God. That's the attitude you want. Go on, who did you... Well, I think you destroyed me once, didn't you, in a tournament? I'm trying to remember which... we have an ogre off, and it all went terribly wrong. Like you say, that seems a very long time ago, but...
UB Games... And I know all of the arguments that they're not particularly any more skewed than, than real life dice, but they just feel different, don't they? You know.
Do you want to talk about your rolls to hit yesterday, Paul, with your Farfalak?
What I'm finding with dice is I just hate them. That's I'm fed up with dice.
This is from the man who rolled 6 sixes to hit me with his 6 attack.
Yeah, but it's all situational, isn't it? It's like that Varkalak was running into something. He was hitting on 3s with re-rolls, and my first roll was 5 sixes. And you're looking at it thinking,
5 sixes, yeah.
Really? Now you want to roll the 5 sixes? Getting these regen saves, and he couldn't roll higher than a 3. I've been getting a little bit irate with dice recently, not just on UB, but in real life. I just keep looking at circumstances thinking, oh, Lady Luck has not been shining on me. Apart from when I play you, Ed, I think for some reason.
You had one game against me that the dice were quite favourable, but then again, I had a game against you where the dice went very much in my favour as well. So, yeah, I think the end of Underdog Brawl where I played Craig Johnson and I got 18 points out of the game, and I seem to remember dicing him very heavily in that game. Every risk that he... We were in a position where, you know, it was game 5. Neither of us was going to do anything good if we didn't take some risks. Every risk that he took didn't pay off, and every risk that I took did. And that was... I mean, given that I won that event, which is only the second event I've ever won, and it was a full, you know, full ranking point event. So that's probably a big part of what got me there. So just having luck at those right moments, when both of us were in a position where we both had to take risks, and we both had to see what happened, you know, sometimes it is just in the lap of the dice gods.
I think, it's definitely a conversation for another day, because I think we could go quite far into it in some detail, but I think the game is becoming so much more finely balanced, and I just think, yeah, sometimes it comes down to who just has that edge of the green on that particular game will then run with it and then take the advantage. It's how long you can hold on to that advantage and how long you can run forwards with it and how many points you can score, which then takes you on. And when you do it in the event. So, I think it all has key impact. I mean, I still think you need to be a good player to do consistently well. But I definitely think, unlike in the olden days, where we're in old alliterations of maybe even ninth, but early games of GW things, which is why I prefer ninth over Games Workshop games, is just when you took the broken stuff, the odds were so in your favour that if you didn't take the broken stuff, you were screwed. Whereas now, well, I think TEC was pretty, and even you've been proving with your demon list how different it is to the demon list that I was running the previous year that almost got into the Masters. There's different combinations of units there, and yet still consistently getting decent results. So
I think there's a lot. Yeah, there's definitely a lot where generalship shows through, and then there's, you know, those kind of moments of knowing when to take risks. But there's still, you know, there's still the obvious case that the best players shine through repeatedly. And, you know, you can see that from the fact that Craig has qualified in three different methods to get into the Masters. You know, the consistently best generals, even if they have a bad day and don't win an event as a result of it, they're always going to be up there. And they're always going to be podiuming at events on a regular basis. So I would say in a busier year, I might have been struggling to make certain that I was in Masters and that I wasn't relying on dropouts to get in there. So if I can improve with demons, maybe I can keep it up for next year.
So how many Masters have you been to?
I have been, I think, to one live and one, and the one last year for UB, I believe.
Okay, so this will kind of be your third Masters event.
I think so.
And I mean,
yeah.
Is it? Do you find it different to other tournaments? I mean, obviously, it's like being on the top tables all the way through, I suppose, is there?
Yeah, it's a different feel, because I mean, I like normal events, and I'm quite happy to play someone who hasn't played much or doesn't play often, and you know, those games tend to be a bit slower, and you end up explaining a bit of what's happening as you go through, and I enjoy those games a lot because I feel like that's a big part of what the hobby is about and what makes it enjoyable. The Masters is much more focused. You have a lot less of the sense that someone has come in with a list that's not ready for a competitive game, and the person, you know, the people will know the lists. It's a smaller pool. People have had time to actually really look at those 16 lists that are there. So it does have that bit of that different feel to it, that you're not expecting to have a couple of games that have big swings, and then it settles down maybe in game three or four to the kind of similar ability level. Whereas other than maybe one or two probably one game during the Masters, you're either going to be outmatched or you're going to have a good, you know, have a good run. The rest of the games always feel a little bit tighter, a little bit more like you're on a kind of level footing. I'm not sure that plays out in the scores. I think you still get big 20-0 wins because people are still looking to take risks and get themselves ahead. But there is definitely a sense that everyone is a bit more prepared. Everyone's a bit more on the ball, partly because they've looked at the lists in more detail.
Excellent. And in terms of your... Well, we kind of covered this earlier, but, you know, the secret to your year... this year, I suppose it was just having. I mean, did you find you managed to make it to more events, or your results were a bit higher than previous years?
Yeah, I think I made sure I made it into pretty much everything, which is always a big help because, you know, particularly with limited events in the last year. Because of the UB events are running over a month or just over a month, so there's only so much scope for an event, which meant that if you're in six or seven of them, you've given yourself a big chance to get the four good results that you need to qualify. I also went to a couple of the live in-person events that happened this year, which was great, obviously getting back into pushing about models for real. And really loved being at those events. I think really the secret this year was just showing up, just being in as many events as possible. Didn't necessarily get results in each of the events, but enough of them went well to get me what I needed to do to get for this year.
And how do you think you're going to do this year at the Masters? Are you taking it seriously? Are you in it to win it? Because you mentioned earlier that you weren't, you kind of dropped in that you weren't too confident. But
yeah, I think.
I mean, you still play to win, don't you? You still got a list regardless of where you think you're going
to
come.
Yeah, I will still play to win. I will still take a list that I think will do well. It will not be a net list that is just intended to be the best list that I can find. It will be a list that I want to play and that I feel plays to my strengths. But it also won't be an attempt to second guess the meta, unless I'm playing everyone for a fool and I'm just going to bring an Ogre Gunline list and surprise everyone. But it's much more likely to just be a list that I think feels like the kind of list I want to play, like it you know, is something that I'm going to enjoy playing and that will stretch me in playing it. I would like to think that if things go very well, I'll be in the top half. That's kind of my ambition for the Masters this year, because the last couple of Masters I've been somewhere in the bottom third, bottom quarter. So being in the top half at the end of the event would be a step up for me.
Fantastic. Well, I'd like to thank you for your time, Ed.
No, not at all.
And, you know, for telling us about what you've got planned and what you're looking at. So, yeah, best of luck. And, I mean, I suppose the one thing is, with all of the Masters entrants, you've all kind of played each other. I mean, you've all been on the top tables at events. So it's not like, I mean, is there any other players you haven't played?
That is a good point. I need to look at the full list. I don't know if I've played Jeff Keeling actually, or I think no, I have. I've definitely played him online. I definitely haven't played him in person though. And I think that would be. I suppose it depends on what he brings. If he brings, a beast list, that would definitely be an interesting matchup. Other than that, I think again, I've only played Haristo maybe once online. But I think everyone else I've played probably several times in different forms. So yeah, there's not many people. I think I've played everyone at least once, and I don't think there's that much in the way of kind of surprise entrance. I think it'll just come down to what people bring and how it goes on the day. But I'm really looking forward to it, and COVID permitting, I really hope it's going to be a fantastic event.
Excellent. Like I was saying, thank you very much for your time. And yes, best of luck, chap.
Yeah, cheers for coming on, Ed. Really appreciate it. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, guys. It's me, Lucky Sixes from Proxy Table Gaming.
And me, Maddy P from the Paired Weapons Podcast.
The Masters competition is back. For your chance to win a selection of these prizes, including gaming accessories, 3D print vouchers, the Breach introduction game, and commissions from the Gobbo, simply answer this question. Which army was placed at the top of the latest tier list, released in December 2021? Was it Orcs and Goblins?
Demon Legions?
Or Beast Herds?
To enter, simply send your answer to the following email address. PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. That's the PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to include your name, contact details, and your answer. Check out the Masters Review Show on the Proxy Table Gaming YouTube channel shortly after the tournament itself.
Thanks to all our partners and sponsors.
And good luck.
See you later.